This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. The prose poem is a rare literary hybrid, the music of poetry without the line breaks. In Jody Hetherington's new collection, the prose poem takes center stage. The book is called On the Edge of No Answer, and the work inside digs deeply into little moments, exposing the nuance of emotions that are here and gone before we can think too much about them. Jody, who also goes by the name Joel Hetherington, is co-founder of Penn Central, a small organization that offers writing workshops in the Maine and New Hampshire Seacoast area. She lives in southern Maine, and we met in her writing studio in Kittery Point to talk about her book. Thank you very much for inviting me into your writing studio.
Thank you very much for coming.
No writer studio would be complete without a huge wall of books, and I'm looking here and you've got a ton of poetry. Is there any one author or maybe a couple of authors who are some of your biggest influences here?
Oh, that's so hard to answer. It always depends on what I've just been reading and what I love. One of the books I was thinking of before this interview was a book by Charlie Simic called Dime Store Alchemy, which was one of the first things I came across that had prose poems, and it is written in response to the artwork of Joseph Cornell. There are so many other poets I love, it's hard to say. I'm reading at the moment some Jack Gilbert off and on, William Stafford, Anna Kamienska, not very well known here. She's Polish. There are so many. It's really hard to say.
Well, tell us about the art form prose poem. We don't encounter that too much. Even if you do read poetry, it's not as common as standard free verse with line breaks. How did you start writing prose poems?
Yeah, it certainly isn't what most people think of when they think of poetry. I came to it in a rather roundabout way, I guess. Part of it was reading the book I just mentioned, Charles Simic's book. Another was a class I was doing that was called Sudden Fiction, in which we were writing in response to prompts and then sharing our work with each other. And I discovered that I never got going fast enough, and I always wrote the beginnings of things and would never finish them. And once, when I was in one of those classes, I dithered for about half of the hour that we were supposed to be writing, and then I suddenly got this idea, and I wrote what wasn't really a story. I wouldn't have called it a prose poem at the time. It was almost like a vignette or a scenario, and it had a lot of wordplay around the letter W. And I finished it in about 25 minutes, and I really fell in love with it. And it's a form that just really appeals to me. One of the other things that led me to it is a notebook. I'm a total geek when it comes to notebooks, pens, tools, and a lot of my writing process for poetry certainly occurs by hand in notebooks. And a friend gave me a small notebook. It's about 3 by 3 inches. It's known among my friends as the pink book because it happens to be pink. And it has these little dotted lines, and I fell in love with this little format. I have small writing, I love fine tip pens, and I started to do one of those a day. And my only guideline was to fill a page. I occasionally fill more than one page, and to not take it too seriously and to let myself go. And I just would find a starting point, and it just opened up for me.
How would you distinguish between something that you would consider a vignette and something that would rise to the level of prose poem?
I tend to compare prose poetry not necessarily to vignette as much as to, say, flash fiction, which is another rather trendy new form. And the difference between them, I think, is that flash fiction really does have a little more to do with a narrative. There's a little bit of a plot. There may even be a tiny bit of character development. Prose poetry, to my mind, is more about a deep exploration. It does what poetry does. It is exploring how we are in the world, the essences of experiences.
I felt, reading some of these, that you were taking very small moments and exploding them, making just trying to chart where the emotions come from or how they actually exist inside a human being. I don't know if that's way too an abstract way to describe it, but sometimes they felt like stories. Sometimes you had characters in the sense where these people did sort of come alive. But then there were moments like the title poem, right? On the Edge of No Answer, what it's like to feel the phone ring so many times and you almost get the sense that no one's going to pick up. And then it happens. Small moments like that.
You're absolutely right. I think you really put your finger on something there. I would certainly describe myself as a miniaturist. And that's what I'm interested in. the ways things unfold in the smallest ways, and the way those smallest moments can reveal so much. They open out and open out. It's like some kind of puzzle where you think it's small, and then it just keeps getting bigger when you explore it. And that's absolutely what I'm interested in exploring in my work.
Can you read us an example from your book of one that you really like?
Well, how about if I read the one that you just mentioned called The Little Part of You That I Know? I call and ask to speak to the little part of you that I know. 3, 4 rings on the edge of no answer, but then you pick up. This is not the voice I was expecting, formal and almost rosy, and I know right away, but I ask anyway. No, you say, that little part of you that I know is not there. No, you do not know when it will be back. I'm afraid I'll sound forlorn. That little part of you would understand. But there's no way to end this conversation gracefully. We are friends, after all, even if this is all pretext over subtext. How are you without you? What's the news from the not here? Hanging up, I wonder, will you really bother to give my message to the little part of you that I know?
So you can't help but think of Flash Fiction a little bit, right?
It does have some of those hallmarks. It's very condensed. It often does tell a story. There's a story of a relationship and an emotion there. It's not exactly that there's a plot, although you have a phone call, you have an action. But again, I think the prose poetry is interested in excavating the emotion inside the moment.
So you've done some teaching in the Portsmouth, Southern Maine area, yes?
A little bit, yes. I've offered some classes. A couple friends and I created a small organization and have offered classes over the last few years. Mostly what I offered, in fact, was Flash Fiction. And it was mostly about generating work rather than criticizing or evaluating or revising. You know, I'm always interested in helping people to find that spark.
How would you describe the relationship between your teaching of writing and the writing you do?
It certainly makes me think more consciously about what I do. The classes I've offered, as I've said, some of them are generative. And the nice thing about that is if I choose to, I can join in and also respond to this prompt. And it makes me think about what's the most inspiring to me, the things that catch my attention. And they are varied. They're many and varied. When I was writing my prose poems in the little book that I mentioned earlier, all I had to do was find a starting point. For me, sometimes it's a word or a phrase. Sometimes it's something I overheard. Sometimes it's an image I'm looking at. Sometimes it's a comment a friend made to me. I have a poem in the book that's titled, it's a quotation, and the quotation is, "Do not liken yourself unto a rodent." And I had said to a friend that I felt like I was in the rat race, running around and doing a lot of things and not being very creative. And she said those exact words to me, and it spurred a prose poem. So teaching does that for me as well. You know, when I'm engaging with other people who are really eager to find a way to express themselves, find a way to let their voice out, then it makes me think about how I do that and how I help other people do that.
What's the revision process like for you?
I do a lot of tweaking and fine-tuning in my head as I write. I'm very much about wordplay and the way words sound together. So a fair amount of that is going on in my head before I get things down on the page. But that absolutely does not mean that once it gets on the page, it's done. You know, the prose poems, again, I'm talking about those mostly because of the book. When I was writing those, I certainly have crossouts, and there's places where there's, you know, whole lines crossed out, and then I had to go back and try something else. Once I get it down on the page, it's really got a pretty good shape for the most part. And I will do revisions after that. But it's quite interesting. I'm in a poetry group with other very accomplished poets. And one of the things I'm always aware of is the very different ways we approach our work. When we share our work, when I bring something in, by that point, I have it pretty well fine-tuned and I have a pretty clear idea of what it is and what I want it to be. There are other people in the group who will come in with a poem, and if people respond to it and say, well, I don't understand this, or maybe a different word choice, you know, I have one friend who will say, oh, it's gone. I've already gotten rid of that now. I'm going to revise this one. This is just a draft. And by that point, I already am pretty sure that I'm on something close to a final draft.
What kind of advice do you give your students?
Mostly, I guess it has to do with the advice I was giving myself when I wrote the prose poems, not taking it too seriously. That's the advantage of doing something where you're writing from a prompt. Somebody gives you an idea and you turn yourself loose and try to turn off that judgmental part of you. That judgmental part of you is important later, but when you're creating, when you're writing, you have to let go of that. And the great thing about writing from prompts is that our brains want to make sense out of things. If somebody gives me three words and says, make a poem out of it, my brain starts to work and find ways to put those things together. And as long as I'm not second guessing myself, some really interesting stuff can come out. And I think that's what I try to make clear to the people who've taken my classes, is that there's some really wonderful things that can come out when you allow yourself the freedom.
Well, Jody, thank you very much for letting me into your writing studio and talking to me about your book.
Thanks so much for inviting me to be on the show.
That's Jody Hetherington. She's the author of the new collection, On the Edge of No Answer. And you can find a list of her top five reading recommendations at our website, nhpr.org. We are always looking for reading recommendations from listeners like you. Anne from Concord wrote us to recommend a book called The Other Side of Loss by Tom Vaughan. It's a novel about the biggest lottery in U.S. history, self-doubt, and truth. Anne writes, "It is safe to say that I didn't simply read this book, I felt it. I felt close to all of the characters, even the one I despised. I felt the urgency of the situations, the depth of the despair, yet hope for some of the characters. And I felt the locations. I was in St. Mungo's. I was in New London, Boston, Manhattan. Just a fabulous read." Well, that's the recommendation from Anne, The Other Side of Loss by Tom Vaughan. What's yours? Send it our way. The email address is books@nhpr.org. Tell us your name, the title of the book, the author, and why you like the book so much. Again, that email address, books@nhpr.org. You can also tweet us at @NHPRBookshelf. This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you very much for listening.